Thank you, Michael, and thanks to everyone for the invitation to be here, to those who are here in person and those who are online. Good to be with you today. My colleagues gave me two tasks. One is don't go over time, and the other is to talk about some of the things that Michael introduced that are not directly related to applications. There are several applications that we're going to talk about. We all tend to use more or less the same kind of thing, so I'm not going to steal their thunder. I'm instead going to talk about why we should be using technology for dispute resolution in the first place, and some of the issues that surround the applicability of technology to the kind of work that we do. I first thought about the idea of applying technology into dispute resolution work quite some time ago, back in the 1980s, and I think I've said this before in public places. I helped set up a mediation between Africa, the UK, and the United States using telephones and fax machines. And it occurred to me then and later on that as third parties, as dispute resolvers and people who attempt to resolve disputes, we do three basic things that are fundamental to our practice. We manage communication, and sometimes that means creating channels where they don't exist. Sometimes it means handling communication within channels that exist. We deal with information. We help the parties find information, understand information, and come to some agreement about information. And we deal with group dynamics. Whether it's a dyad in a divorce mediation or whether it's a multi-party dispute, we're dealing with the group dynamics of that. And that example that I gave you from the 1980s sort of drove that home to me very early. There were no communication channels if we couldn't get them together unless we used something like the primitive technologies that we had, telephones and fax machines, but we created communication channels where there were none. And we did it without having to organize meetings and without having to travel to one continent or another, and we did it in a way that worked well for the parties. And by using the fax machines, we were able to exchange information in a way that we could not have done had there not been some way to move words from one place to another that were not spoken words. And in terms of the group dynamics, there were a number of people involved. There were primary negotiators, but there were also interested parties and constituent groups that everybody was dealing with. And one of the things that struck me at the time was that an improvement over doing this face-to-face was that we had the ability for all of those people to actually reach out, touch, and talk to their constituent groups in a way they would not have done if we'd been sitting around a table somewhere. So there were some disadvantages. You always give up some of the nonverbal, and there are some things that you lose. But it occurred to me at that point even that there were some significant advantages that could be accrued by using technology. And so moving forward, so why should we use web-based platforms? The ability to create more communication channels. We did, the National Science Foundation conducted a series of two research projects that I was involved in back in between 2004 and 2010. And the questions we were asking basically were, what difference does it make that you use technology to do the work? And there were several, but the one that really, that we wound up doing a little bit more work on than others was the idea of anonymity. If you have a situation, especially where you have multiple parties or where you have lead negotiators and you have, you're trying to manage members of each of those parties, the ability to get input anonymously tended to show up in a couple of ways that were really important. One is we tended to get more information because people were willing to say things anonymously that they wouldn't say out loud at the table. And we tended to have a broader range of options to choose from when we were dealing with generating options. I don't know if that means we got more creative solutions, but we at least had more things to choose from in the solutions. And so there was an actual dynamic that was different with the group that we were groups that we were working with, and there was an improvement in the sense that by using these tools, we were able to open up channels of communication that we couldn't open up without using them, and that there was a specific advantage that accrued from doing that. Second thing we found was that in a lot of complicated negotiations, the amount of information that's there is really quite overwhelming. In the agency that I work for, we do a lot of long-term contract negotiation, and just as an example, we had one party that came in with 300 open issues. And so 2 years later, we finally got a deal. But over the course of 2 years, the only way that we found that we were able to deal with the complexity of that information was to be able to post it somewhere where people could see it all the time at their leisure. And so we had people who would have a face-to-face meeting, and then 3 weeks later, another face-to-face meeting, and in between, everybody had access to everything and could ask questions online, read everything online. And we found that greatly advanced the process and was a great advantage to the parties. And the group dynamics part of it, again, I think one of the things that we have found in using technology for, especially multi-party, is that if you're at the table, there are certain limitations in the way you deal with the parties in terms of managing the group dynamics. You have small group dynamics, you have interpersonal dynamics, et cetera. You have some options when you're dealing with the online tools that allow you to become a little bit more creative about the way you define what a group is, who belongs to the group, are the groups more fluid, et cetera. And so all of that stuff, if you look at that in toto, for me, it's an indication that that using technology has some distinct advantages, but it fits into very nicely the things that we do anyway. So my colleagues today are going to be talking about some technology that I would say goes on the front end of our process. We have to convene, we have to get agreements to mediate, we have to exchange initial information. There are all sorts of things that we do in the run-up to actually addressing the issues. And if we don't do those ahead of time, if we don't do those using technology and allow people to do that asynchronously, then we're taking up time that we're together to do those things. And one of the things that we find in my practice anyway is that things move much quicker and much better and with a lot more agreement, actually, if we're able to iron all of that stuff out ahead of time at the leisure of the parties. And then when we show up, we're actually ready to go. We've already defined what we're going to do, and everybody's signed off, and we're all ready to go. So that's the kind of technology they're going to be talking about today. So last thing I want to talk about very briefly is, so how do you approach the parties doing this? And one of the things that I would say from my experience is that the pushback in using technology does not come from the parties. It comes from the third parties. It's more difficult to get the mediators, facilitators, arbitrators, et cetera, to agree that it's okay. The parties get it. They will immediately see the value added in the time, the convenience, the money. They immediately see that, and they'll actually push you to use technology where it might not be wise. In terms of what to use, there are literally thousands of applications out there, and you could pick and choose among all of them. But there's a cutting edge question that I would always ask, that I discuss with the parties directly, and that is there a value added by using this technology? And if so, what is the value that we're adding? If I can't answer that question and they don't understand the answer to that question, I won't use the technology. So the question is, am I doing it better? Not am I doing it differently, but am I doing it better using the technology? If the answer is yes, then that's a really great reason to use it. If the answer is no, then you need to question why you're doing it in the first place, because it may be that they're more comfortable face-to-face. Excuse me. And then once you figure out the value added, incorporate that into the approach that you take with the parties. We always do what we call a protocol agreement. It's really an agreement to mediate. And the protocol agreement literally spells out, this is what we're going to do, this is why we're doing it, and this is how we're going to do it. And so all of the parties have a chance on the front end to have input about how we're going to do it, but also to express their affirmation that they're comfortable with the way we're going to handle the situation and the technology that we're going to use and how we're going to handle the technology that we're going to use. Lots of questions embedded in that. We can talk about that at some other time probably, you know, in terms of what's privacy and what's confidential and all that. We address all of that stuff in our agreement to mediate. I guess the last thing I would say before I turn it over to them to talk about some specific applications is that I think it's almost unnatural not to use technology these days. And the reason I say that is some statistics that I'm sure you all probably already know. I'm working right now with a group from ACR, and we're trying to get ACR, ABA, and AAA together to revise the model standards for mediators that came out back in 2005. In 2005, 5% of the American public used social media. In 2017, it'll hit 70%. 83% of the adults in the United States are on the internet, quote, regularly. 23% of the American adult public says that they're on the internet, quote, almost constantly. So if that is, as a communication channel, if the technology we use becomes the common communication channel that we're used to doing everything in, it sort of begs the question if we don't adapt it to what we do, because it's what everybody's doing with everything else, including finding people to marry. And so the idea that applying technology into dispute resolution is somehow unusual, I think is a concept for the last decade. Right now, it's if you're not using technology at all, well, why not? You know, and you know, what cave are you living in? Because you probably are, even if you don't admit it. The thing I guess I would stress is the last thing I would say goes back to my find the value added and talk to the parties about it. If you're going to use technology, use it intentionally, use it thoughtfully, and integrate it into your practice in a way that adds value to the piece of your practice that you're integrating it into, rather than simply diving in and using it without thought. So I'll shut up there and turn it over, and we'll talk.